This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, January 7th, 2022. I'm Caleb Brown. The incoming leftist president of Chile is another sign in a decade-long slide away from free markets there. Cato's Ian Vasquez describes how Chile got here and offers some hope for reversing the trend.
The election of Gabriel Boric is part of a wave of leftism that has come back to Latin America in the last several years, but it is especially worrisome in the case of Chile. After all, Chile was, without any question, the most successful country in the region, and it's really one of the great development success stories of all times by any measure. And yet, Chile decided, after several decades of success, to elect not just a leftist president, but a far leftist president, somebody who has been allied with the Communist Party, which will now be part of the government that he forms, somebody who has for many years praised the far left regimes in Latin America, from Venezuela to Cuba. And when he gave his acceptance speech, he vowed, as he did throughout his campaign and throughout his entire political career, to bury the neoliberal model of Chile, that is the free market policies that have led to that success. And when you look at Chile, you see that by virtually any measure, it far surpasses most developing countries. After all, since the 1970s, when these far-reaching reforms began, Chile has quadrupled its income per capita. Its measures of human development or indicators of well-being far surpass almost any other Latin American countries, usually listed at the top. It's at the top of the Human Development Index by the United Nations. It is the country with the greatest personal freedoms in Latin America. It's one of the freest countries in the world. And just looking at infant mortality rates and so on, access to safe water, virtually any indicator, it far surpasses Latin America. It became, during this period of time, a middle-class country. Didn't used to be. Latin America is characterized as being highly unequal. But during this time, Chile became a much more equal country in those terms. And that's important because inequality in Latin America usually and overwhelmingly is the result of government restrictions on people's freedoms and favoritisms that keep the elite in power. Chile implemented policies that started to do away with that. And so among Latin American countries, it's the country that by far has the most social mobility. And according to the OECD, by many indicators, it is more socially mobile than most European and advanced democracies. One researcher in Chile, Professor Sapelli, has found that Chile is actually more socially mobile than a number of countries like France and Germany and the United States. So what we've seen during this time is a tremendous success. Also, democracy was consolidated. And this all began, of course, after the Pinochet coup in 1973, and then in 1975, free market reforms began, far-reaching free market reforms by the so-called Chicago Boys, whose goal was not just to implement a free market in a very coherent and well-thought-out way, but to create a free society, a set of policies that led to political liberty as well as civil and personal liberties. And that was achieved by 1990 when there was a transition to democracy. After that transition, for most of that time period, you had center-left governments in charge. And they not only upheld the free market model, they deepened it by establishing free trade treaties with countries all around the world and deepening reforms in a lot of different ways. And so that's the basis of Chile's success. And then in 2010, the first center-right president was elected. His name was Sebastián Piñera. And when he came to power, there began to be a shift in Chile to the left. He began to rule and govern in a way that was further to the left in many respects than the center-left governments that preceded him, by increasing taxes, increasing spending, and so on. In a sense, he was competing also with the left on their own rhetoric. And when that happens, you're going to lose. And the left started going further to the left and accusing him of being extreme free marketeer, which he never was. And he never really defended free market principles or the principles of the free society in a way that was coherent and consistent with the reforms that actually made Chile successful. And instead, he started competing with the left. During this entire period of time, the left basically took hold of the narrative in Chile. And that was a big part of the problem, which is to say that the entire time they were outright stating that the system was unfair, that it was creating greater inequality, that it was only benefiting the elites at the expense of the rest of society, that it's the same people who always got rich. All of these things that factually were just plainly incorrect. And so, in a sense, the first center-right president, Sebastián Piñera, for those 4 years in office from 2010 to 2014, was shifting the country to the left, because he was not only not defending these principles, but he was playing with these ideas of the left. And so the President Bachelet came to power. She was a leftist president, and she started saying that we have to undo this free market system. When she began implementing some of these reforms, growth started to go down, and Chile for the first time began experiencing stagnation, basically very low growth after decades of having experienced high growth and a lot of progress. But the narrative of the left still predominated in the academies, the universities, the media, the cultural spaces, the arts, and a good part of the population believed that rhetoric. It is at this time too that the political left in Chile, which had always been moderate and very sensible and had governed in that way, began to radicalize and shift to the far left. So you had at least half of that left that began to become extremist. And that had also an effect on the moderate left, which sort of silenced them. So there was this predominant narrative in Chile and more extremism on the left, and that's the rhetoric and the narrative that basically took over Chilean politics during that period of time. But because there was such low growth and people began to be dissatisfied with what the socialist president Bachelet was doing, during the next elections, they again elected Sebastián Piñera, who is president now. On the campaign platform that he would strengthen free market reforms and reject the kinds of policies that Michelle Bachelet had put in. And that was several years ago. He was elected, but he didn't actually do anything to that effect. Growth was still low. And it was at that point, 2019, in the fall of 2019, that massive protests erupted, and you saw a lot of social discontent, much of which was actually stimulated by the far left. But people had legitimate grievances. Unfortunately, by this point, the far left had already taken over the political narrative and dominated it. And so the call was to have a new constitution, to overturn what they called 30 years of failure, and so on. And President Piñera, I think, once again, failed in the task of defending the ideas of that made Chile such a success story, and instead gave in to a lot of what the left's agenda was, including rewriting a whole new constitution. So that's where it leaves us today in Chile, which is a country that has just elected a far-left president, and that is going through a constitutional assembly dominated by the far left, in which the center right has a minority voice, not even enough of a representation to veto bad ideas. And that will be put up to a vote in a plebiscite later this year. It looks to me that Chile is headed in the direction, at best, toward an average Latin American country, at worst, toward a real failed Latin American country like, say, Argentina.
What are you looking for in terms of measures of human well-being in Chile that have performed so well since the 1970s and 1980s, and then sort of have fallen off in recent years? What measures of human well-being are you looking to see change as this government takes root?
I think that if socialist policies elsewhere in the region are any guide, we're going to see growth decelerate. We're going to see poverty increase. We're going to see inflation go up. We're going to see all sorts of social spending go up, or what they call social spending. The government is going to be involved in huge portions of people's lives, not just through economic interventions, but all sorts of other types of interventions. And that's the record of these leftist governments in power. One of the great successes of the Chilean reforms was a private pension system, which the left has always characterized as unfair, not working, and benefiting only the rich. None of which is true. So he has this president-elect has vowed to undo it, to get rid of it, and to reinstitute the pay-as-you-go system that much of the rest of Latin America has, and that all of Latin America, including Chile, used to have, which was a failure and continues to be a failure. So that's going to, of course, ruin the capital markets in Chile, and so we'll see less investment and so on. But I think that what really matters here, and this is a lesson for the United States, is the big picture, that you can have undisputed success. You can have tremendous progress that surpasses by far other experiences of countries that have followed other policies and institutions, and still have a population vote against those if it believes that somehow that system is unfair, illegitimate, or is creating inequality that is unacceptable, even if the facts say otherwise. And so we might ask ourselves, why did this happen in Chile? And as I say, part of the story is the ideological story that took hold in politics. The other part of the story is, I think, simply that Chile's a rapidly changing and progressing country over the past several decades. And during the past several years, that growth slowed down, partly because of these new ideas that started to take hold and create uncertainty. And so there was a sense of unfulfilled expectations. And I think also in countries that have so much progress, there is sort of the Tocqueville effect, that idea that things that were common before, like widespread poverty or abuses or that kind of thing, child labor, that when a country becomes more prosperous and more successful, those things become less common, and they become so uncommon that they stand out. And people start viewing those things as unacceptable. And so there is a sense that how can we be living in a country with these terrible things going on? Well, in fact, it's a sign of progress. Every country that has progressed has gone through that. And so part of it is the de Tocqueville effect. Part of it is unfulfilled expectations. A big part of it is ideological messaging. And I would not want to conclude from all of this that this is the end of the story for Chile, or that this means that all Chileans agree that there is this socialist path to go down. Because, as a matter of fact, in these elections, the other candidate was a free market right-wing candidate. Some called him far right, but he wasn't extremist in the way that this president-elect is extremist. He was a conservative, but he was the kind of conservative that would respect the Constitution, that would respect the laws, that would respect the institutions of Chile. And he was also one who outwardly was in favor of the free market reforms that made Chile successful. And there hasn't been a politician at that level in Chile for many years that has actually come out and defended those ideas. And yet he got 46% of the vote. And it is also true that the current president, Piñera, was elected only a few years ago on that kind of platform. So Chile is not a simple story of all Chileans decided that these policies that were implemented in Chile were illegitimate and they have to be reversed and we have to go down this path. It's a story of a good chunk of the population bought into that, and it has severely affected politics. Once that once the left comes into power, it's going to be much more difficult to fight. I think this is a story of how freedom always has to be defended. But it also has to be defended from the moral point of view. And I think that that part is what has been lacking in Chile over several decades, with the exception of a few individuals in Chile.
Ian Vasquez runs the Cato Institute Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. And now a thank you to a Cato sponsor. Julie and Gary Applebaum, thank you for your support of the Cato Daily Podcast and the broad mission of the Cato Institute. It's heartening to know that there are people like you out there willing to invest in the future of freedom. Thank you. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast on your podcast platform of choice, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.